symposiums, music, theater, one-minute dances, and lunch at Humboldt County's one-of-a-kind festival. Zero to Fierce, what's it all about? Next on Through the Eyes of Women. Welcome to Through the Eyes of Women, a program featuring the lives and perspectives of women, local, national, and international. A week of fun, exciting, and provocative activities that will move our community to work, talk, and play together is once again upon us. Zero to Fierce Festival has kicked off women's history for the past 3 years. Jacqueline Dandenau from Arcata Playhouse helped energize this event, and Playhouse Arts has as its mission to use live performance as a tool to build community that is inspired and empowered to work together for the common good. And it does. Here today on Through the Eyes of Women is Jacqueline Dandenau. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, for some of our listeners who might not know you, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I am the executive director of the Arcata Playhouse, Playhouse Arts. I'm also an actor and a writer and a musician, and I have two lovely daughters and a lovely partner, and I live in Blue Lake. I worked with Del Arte. I've been here about 15 years, a little longer than the Playhouse is alive, but it's been great. I love it here, and that's me.
And we've been doing this, as I said, this is our third time you sitting here in the station, and we're talking about this. Mm-hmm. And what I'm so inspired about is theater building community. We've talked about this year after year, mm-hmm. you know, transformational theater, how that all got. How did you incorporate that love that you have of building community in theater into this festival? But first, let's talk about your concept of theater building community.
Ultimately, I believe that the arts, generally, the arts are an essential part of a healthy society. And when you remove the arts from a society, that's when you lose some of your ability to build empathy, to hear another point of view, to have fierce discussions that are different, but not divide yourself in A or B. So I think when you remove the arts from your communities, I feel like some of those things happen. Innovative thinking, you lose that. So that the more you can inspire people to create and think creatively, it affects not only your self-worth, but your ability to hear, listen, and inspire others. So I'm a big advocate of the arts, not as a burden on society or something that needs to be supported, but something that is an essential part of our society, like air and water and engineering and doctors and plumbers, and that you need artists at the table. So that's where I come from to begin with. And then I had a feminist theater company before I moved to Humboldt County. And, you know, it was in the 80s, so it was in the age of women in the media. Some of the things we were saying were pretty provocative and out there, and we said it through comedy. We were a three-women comedy troupe. And so Franco Rama says, when you laugh, you throw your head back, the audience throws their head back, and the ideas just seep in. So there's something about that, about just being able to listen and have someone else speak. Your job is not to speak when you go to theater. Your job is to listen and be there. So that's a good thing.
Now, also involved with that is activism. I noticed that, especially at Arcata Playhouse, it could be a ground central for a lot of different activist groups. Let's just bring up the March for Our Lives last year, mm-hmm. You know, centered around that's also part of the thread of the community.
Right. I mean, art is activism. Just by expressing your opinion, you're an activist. Just by engaging in whatever you engage in, you're an activist, whether you're petitioning or whether you're showing up at city hall meetings. We're all activists because we live our lives and we're in a world and we all live together. So ultimately, art is an activist pursuit because it connects humanity.
And in connecting humanity, you came up with the idea of a Zero to Fierce Festival 3 years ago. Well, actually, there was this event called the election. And everyone kind of thought that this came out of that election, that we need art because the election depressed people, et cetera, right. et cetera. And I think it came out of a different celebration.
It did come out of it. I had planned the festival before Trump was elected because, you know, the festival starts in March, so I couldn't decide in January to throw a festival. I've always believed in the power of women and what women collectively do, not to negate men or the male presence, but women, a group of women have a different force about them and a different way of being. And so I've always been a big advocate for theater and women in art. And so the idea for a women's festival for me was the celebration around International Women's Day. So what would I do for International Women's Day? And then suddenly the first time it was like 63 events and I was like, wow, everybody was doing everything. There was, you know, vaping and yoga and meditation and theater. And so the next year I scaled it down a bit more to like, I think there were 40 events. And this year there are less. There are, I think, 17 events that are sort of solidly within the festival. And then coming forward on the website, there'll be a pop-up event button so that when people come to me and say, hey, it just so happens I have this, you know, band here, or I'm doing this here, I'm doing tarot readings, we can pop it up on the website so people can see what else is going on in the community around that week. And they'll be pop-up venues is what we're calling them.
So that impromptu, you can find that on zerotofierce.org?
Yeah, zerotofierce.org.
Which is a different website this year than it has been the past 2 years. Talk about that just a little bit.
Well, the .com website got lost in the ether, and so it's in auction with GoDaddy right now. So we have 24 hours, and then we'll be able to have it back. So if you do go to .com, you'll probably forward to .org by the time this comes out. So I think it'll all settle itself in.
Well, good, because actually I wanted to know what happened when I went to .com, and it just said, if you're looking for other similar.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll own it, and it'll all be tickety-boo.
But in the meantime, zerotofierce.org is it. Where you can get the schedule, where you can find out about all the events, mm-hmm. and learn a little bit about something. Yeah. There's wonderful narratives that go with every event that you have, which really is very inspirational.
Cool.
You know, really pumps people up, I think.
Good. And our schedule, you can download the schedule, too, from the website.
You talked about you had a plethora of singular events the first year, mm-hmm. and we talked about how you picked the talent for that. So over the subsequent years, how does that come out for you?
Well, this year, I received no funding from anybody for it this year, so I scaled back a bit. That's not true. The Puffin Foundation gave me funding for the Broadside on Saturday night. The Puffin Foundation supported women in music. So.
And the Broadside is, I think, 4 musical events?
It is. It starts with Julie Fulkerson and Gwen Post doing classical violin. Then they're joined by Lorenza Simmons and Jenny Malvillasenor, who are going to do some opera and some bossa. And then there's an intermission, and that's all acoustic. That's the acoustic set. Then there's intermission, and then Lindsay Battle's going to come out and play some of her stuff. Then everybody's going to join in and do some things, and then the Monster Women are going to play. So I've tried to get 4 different styles of women in music locally.
And that's one thing that you do very well is blending all these various, even with the first year when there was so much, I was just so excited.
That's
it was
so exciting.
Like, wow, look at this. This, I mean, it was really big city international type of an event. Mm-hmm. And it's not diminished because there's less. But from that excitement, do you garner women who are like, oh, I can't wait till next year?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I had a woman come up to me who said, you know, I was looking at maybe moving to Arcata, and then I saw the Women's Fest, and I was like, okay, that's it. That tipped her over the edge to move here. So she's been great. Her and her daughter came last year all the time, and you definitely get people who come to every event. And there's still events from Monday to Sunday, so there's still a lot to do. I tried to set up the lunchbox. You know, speaking of international flair, we have a lot of locals who have a lot of international business going on, like Joan Shirley. She's going to be doing a piece, a work in progress of her Morris Graves piece about the women who affected Morris Graves. And then Kutcha is going to do Kutcha Risley-Baldy.
Yes.
She's quite an international, national person. She's going to be doing a thing on Native women violence and resilience. So, and she has some other surprise people maybe coming with her, but I'm not going to say who they are right now. But so that should be exciting. And then, you know, Lorna McLeod is doing Making Peace with Money on the Monday. And she's, you know, she's kind of making a big splash nationally as well. And then on Tuesday is Eva Dubiak, who moved here from Oakland most recently, who's a big activist in the queer community in Oakland. And she's doing a session on She Loves to Play using the movie A League of Her Own as gender and queer stereotypes and codes. So that'll be great. And international, our teens are doing their musical again, The Sandman, which is awesome. If anybody listened to music in the 80s, They're great. They do some great music, and they've written this musical around these 80s tunes, and it's really, really fabulous. So they're doing that. There's all kinds of stuff going on.
Now with Sandman, are we talking doom, 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 or welcome to the vibe?
No, we're talking doom, 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 doom. I forgot one lunchbox, though. Jane Hill and has written a piece on called Now What on Aging, and Peggy Metzger is going to perform it. So there's lots of discussions from money to age to sexuality to violence to who influences who. So, and the Lunchbox series, I'm really trying to build as a thing for people to do on their lunch break that's different than eating at their desk or going out for dinner, that they, for lunch, they can come to the Playhouse. We're serving a light lunch. Various people, various groups are making it to raise money. The Mad River Grange is serving one. So we have various groups that are, going to make money on the Lunchbox, and you come and you eat your lunch and have a fabulous time, and you're out in an hour.
Now we're talking March 4th through the 10th. The 10th is a Sunday.
Yes.
So if you're listening to this or even in the archives, you have plenty of time. If you're working, maybe say, I'm going to take a long lunch on these particular days. Go out and check the schedule. There is something for everyone, as we like to say.
It's true.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Through the Eyes of Women. Here on KHSU, I'm your host, Brenda Starr, and my guest is from Playhouse Arts, Jacqueline Dandenow, and we're talking about celebrating creative women in our community with the upcoming third annual Zero to Fierce Festival here in Arcata.
Woohoo!
Let's go over that Zero to Fierce again.
Ah.
I mean, that is like, to me, that's like Tesla, 0 to 60 in like 6 seconds.
Yeah.
So take a woman who maybe she just came down from some other planet, and she's in Arcata that week.
Right.
How would she get from zero to fierce?
Oh, well, it depends on how you define zero, because zero might be that you are asleep and you wake up, or zero might be that you are at rest and you are ready to engage. So, or zero could mean that you had no interest and now you have some. So the thing about zero to fierce is not to say that we have been, all of us have been asleep, and now it's time to rally forth, but to say we have something for everyone, so that there are people who are on the fiercer side of fierce and on the zeroer side of zero. And this festival is really looking at an opportunity on how we can all be together face to face, not on chat or the, you know, the comment section of said online things, but that we could actually face to face say, hey, but what about this? And what is this thing that everybody talks about? You know, like, what is this pronoun that I'm supposed to call you now? And why do I have to do that? Or what does it mean to you? And how we could have those dialogues face to face that somehow bridge those gaps and make it easier to hear and listen, and also make for fierce conversation. I was just, you know, this young woman I work with, Haley Davis, who actually did a lot of the designing for us, she was talking about a bell hooks book she's reading, and there's a definite, or the synonyms of fierce in it, and how a fierce dialogue infers that you are partaking and you're listening and you're not discounting. So that's the thing about fierce too, is how we can gather together in a space to listen, to speak, and to laugh and watch and learn. So that's what's exciting for me, is to see all these people, not only women, because it's important to note that the festival is highlighting women and giving women a chance to, sometimes the voices of specific women are not heard as loud. So it's a chance to put them at the front, but everyone is welcome to come here. And it's an all ages event. So everyone can come and learn about these things and hear these really strong, amazing women do their thing, whatever that thing is.
Well, it is about listening and dialogue. And that brings me to a date, March 8th. That's International Women's Day. It's also a day where I haven't read anything because, as everyone knows, I don't do facce brutte, which is Italian for ugly face, which is, you know, Facebook. Anyway, so I'm out of the loop often. But there's supposed to be a march that didn't happen in January that could happen on the 8th. When I'm thinking of listening and dialogue, then that's a place there. Do you have any information about that? Or
I don't. I was contacted in January, but I was leaving town. So I wasn't in, I didn't get in that loop of that conversation. I mean, I've been listening to the national conversation and, you know, hearing the different perspectives of that. And my feeling on it is the whole point of the march of the feminist movement is that we are allowed choice. That we get to choose whether we participate, how we participate, and that our choice does not override someone else's choice. And so looking at the national dialogue and the local dialogue, what is our choice as women standing together, as men standing with women, as white women, as women of color, as transgender, as queer, LGBTQ plus, everyone, how do we stand and hear our choices, and how do we engage in those choices in a way that says, okay, I hear you, that's not my choice,
and validate that.
Yeah, I hear your choice, this is my choice. I don't know, it's probably a fairy tale. But it's it's not my choosing, it's not my choice to make for other people on what, how they want to express themselves or not express themselves.
And currently the big word probably that will be added to the dictionary this year is intersectionality. Mm. And I think, geez, I've been doing that for decades, maybe successfully, maybe not successfully, but now it's a conversation.
Right.
And it seems like every Zero to Fierce Festival has had that intersectionality in it within women's voices amongst them. Is this year any different than that?
I've just come to a definition of intersectionality and intersections that are two different things. So intersections are, I think, what happens at the Zero to Fierce Festival. So there's intersections where people meet. For me, intersectionality is the things that are created within your life that create inequity. So that, maybe you're a woman of color, which is one thing, and then you're a woman of color who's queer, and then you're a woman of color who's disabled, and all of those things create an intersectionality that puts you at a disadvantage. I use the quotes disadvantage because that puts you at a different intersectionality than a white woman who is not disabled and is heterosexual. So that they're two different intersectionalities that you're looking at that drive you towards something. So this is my big revelation about intersectionality and intersections, because I've been using intersectionality as a synonym of intersection, but it's not really for me. So the intersections of where we meet, we're going to have lots of intersections at the O2F, at the Zero to Fierce Festival. And there's going to be some that are screamingly fun, and there's going to be some that are screamingly difficult, and there's going to be some that are moderate, and there's going to be some that are very inspiring. And all of those intersections are going to create a big, what's that doodle art, where you put the little thing in the middle and you put your pen around and it makes all those little designs.
And the music goes round and round.
Exactly.
When it comes out here. So we got money, Native women storytelling and songs, gender, muse, invisibility, movies, playing Roma, which is up for Academy Award.
And I got to say something about Roma, because Centro del Pueblo is going to do a discussion before. Good. It's not just showing the movie, but it's a discussion with Centro del Pueblo. And then we'll watch the movie through the eyes of that discussion.
Well, that's what all of these things bring forth, is the listening, the sharing, and then interpreting. Mm-hmm. Right there. Visual arts.
Yes.
The murder musical you talked about. Mm-hmm. 1 minute dances.
Mm-hmm.
Beer tasting.
Mm-hmm.
A myriad of musical styles. And my favorite, eat, talk, and be listening events.
Exactly. I wanted to say, too, that the visual art thing is being spearheaded by Haley Davis and Chelsea Harris, who are HSU grads. And there's a lot of really cool young women involved in this art exhibit. It's called She Art from the He Art.
Ooh, splain.
So it's just these young women talking, using their mediums to express women who have inspired them, or women who they know all the, you know, just different women. And then also, I think there's like 15 women now. I said seven when I sent out the press release, but it's increased to 15. And I know one woman, Rebecca Stauffer, is also doing her MIBA, my inner bad person, M-I-B-A. So she's doing that. And it's an outstanding three-dimensional sculpture.
Wow.
Fiber art sculpture. So there'll be some really amazing things. And we're doing an art reception, release, you know, what's called opening night. We're having a reception with, you know, snacks.
And when opening night is?
That's on Tuesday the 5th. At, let's see, I think it's at 6 o'clock.
Once again, you can go to the zerotofierce.org website and you can download the schedule for yourself. But what's the flow of the week look like?
The flow of the week looks awesome. It's going to start cloudy and then it's going to rain a bit. Snow in the middle, followed closely by a flood.
No. Cloudy, what a chance of art.
I mean, it's all going to, International Women's Day, WILF is going to do their big sing-along thing. So it's all going to kind of build towards International Women's Day. And then we'll have the cabaret after that and then the international potluck. So it'll all build towards, you know, International Women's Day and then getting together on the Sunday and having a potluck lunch with many different faiths and many different ethnicities and people bringing their favorite dish to share.
And that's an event that if you feel like you can't go during the week, you work out of the area where it would be, you know, not successful for you to try to come back and forth. That Sunday, if there was one thing that somebody could do, that's an amazing mm-hmm. potluck.
It is a great potluck. Yes. Also, the Broadside is going to be stunningly awesome. They're amazing musicians. They were just practicing in the theater, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's going to be so great. You don't get to hear acoustic, the straight, like two violins on stage very often.
Yeah. The amount of music that we get to listen to here, live music, we're so lucky to begin with. And then to have a festival on top of it. I mean, it seems like, well, it's a natural thing, but it's an awful lot of work. Yeah. There's only one first. I said that the first time you were here. There's only one first. And here we are at the third annual. And as they say, the third time's a charm or a charmer. So what's the charm here?
The charm is the times that we live in that are exciting, changing, vibrant, distressing, times, but they are times that we are in and our way forward is together. And so I think that's what the charm of this festival is. We band together, we stand together, we work together, we laugh together. And that's what the festival wants to do. Come hang out in the lobby, draw some pictures in our book. It'll be on the table or chat and have coffee.
And as you said, it's all ages.
Yep.
All are welcome.
Yep.
Many of the events are free.
Yep.
There's some that you need a ticket for, and you should buy them. I believe you can get them at Wildberries, some of our local outlets.
Yep, and zerotofierce.org. They're all ticketed on there. There's ticketed events, the Convivial Symposium, the Broadside, and the Lunchbox.
The Convivial Symposium.
Yeah,
that was another one in the style of Plato.
One.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that'll be fun as well. That's always a fun dinner.
Now, I want to thank you in a way that brings up another interview that I did recently with a woman named Madeline Kunin, and she did a book, Coming of Age. And her life, we don't need to give the resume, but she was, probably 83 years old when she was at the Women's March in 2017. And she stood there and she said, "We pledge not to be silent. We pledge not to be interrupted. We pledge not to be sidelined. We pledge not to be stopped. We pledge not to be afraid. And we pledge not to lose hope." And then she ended with a little poem by Emily Dickinson called Hope. Hope is a thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. I want to thank you, Jackie, for helping to put the words into the hope, building community through the arts, keeping arts live, and keeping women's lives live. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Through the Eyes of Women. I've been your host, Brenda Starr, and I've been speaking with Jackie Dandenell from Playhouse Arts about the third annual Zero to Fierce Festival, kicking off Women's History Month. For more information, you can visit the website at zerotofierce.org, where you can find the week's schedule, or you can visit the Playhouse or other locations. Through the Eyes of Women is produced for KHSU, located at Humboldt State University. Thanks to today's engineer and editor, Jessica Eden, and to the entire Through the Eyes of Women team. To listen to this program again, visit our blog at khsuwomen.com, where you can always learn more about the show and post listener comments. Join us again next Monday at 1:30, right here on KHSU.